You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Friday afternoon. Hello. It's good to be with you.
Hello, hello.
As I sit in my normal chair.
Oh my gosh. Still talking about the chair.
Really?
I do feel bad. You know, I fully expected you to be upset, but I did not expect the level of anger.
See, now I don't, hang on. I don't agree with that. Hang on, I'm going to the tape.
You going to find the video?
Yeah, I am. I was annoyed. I was clearly annoyed. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was angry. Really? All right, hang on.
By the way, it's one of those beautiful days here at Odyssey, Kansas City, when it's as hot inside as it is outside.
See, I'm actually very comfortable.
Which is surprising to me, because you guys said that I was a lizard because I keep my home at 77, but it is toasty in here today.
All right, give me audio, okay?
Oh, it's on.
All right, here we go. Hang on just a second. All right, here it is.
Our office, every night at 6 o'clock, and only bring it in here at 2.
But it's broken.
So am I.
You want a broken chair.
I want my chair.
It's broken.
That's fine.
We can get you a new chair.
Why are men so weird about...
What was the opening song?
Office chairs?
You are really mad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you held it together in that video. It was all of the sentiment surrounding
it. No. I was calm in this video. And by the way, the deadpanned, when she says it's broken, and I say, so am I. Maybe one of the greatest one-liners I've ever had.
Priceless.
If they bring it back, I will take it to our office every night at 6 o'clock and only bring it in here at 2.
But it's broken.
So am I.
You want a broken chair.
I want my chair.
It's so Dana, broken.
That's fine.
We can get you a new chair.
Dana took that video and posted it on Facebook. And surprisingly, I thought that more people were going to be on our side. But majority of the commenters were on your side saying, just give the man his chair.
Yeah, some people called me an overgrown crybaby, quit throwing a tantrum, don't be a jerk. But I would say it was, 2-1? I feel the same way. I'm with Scott. I've got a chair at work. It might not be perfect, but it's mine.
My mom did call me last night.
Yeah?
She said, now why'd you take his chair?
And you know, that's the part that hurts the most. I'm going to be honest. Because there was a time about 1:45 yesterday afternoon, I looked over my left shoulder, and I saw you hunched over walking through the hallway, and I said, Sam, what are you doing? You go, nothing. Little did I know you were taking my chair.
Because I knew that there would be pushback, but I, again, did not expect it to be
when you came in the studio at 1:45?
Jamie and John looked at me and said, I wouldn't do that.
No. They said, what are you doing? And you said, we're getting rid of all the old chairs in the building.
All the broken chairs. That is correct.
And John said to you, that's Scott's chair.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, yeah, I know. And Jonathan.
Well, actually, I said, I know.
And Jonathan Weir said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Did he not?
Yeah.
You're a Judas.
I brought it back.
Bring it in here at 2.
But it's broken.
So am I.
Man, right. How did everybody fare with the storms last night?
Wow.
I mean, they only lasted for 5 minutes, but man, were they powerful.
Dude, so I had to go down to Waldo, your neck of the woods, last night. By the way, Summit Grill, can I give them a free plug?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
I don't
even think they advertise on this radio station. Summit Grill is a wonderful, I had never been there. What a great restaurant. We had a great waiter. He was funny. A little self-deprecating.
Yeah.
He made fun of us, which we thought was funny. And
were you in front of the bar or behind the bar?
Oh, no. So St. Margaret walks in. She comes in through the back door.
Oh.
So I'm at
VIP entrance.
I'm in the front. Well, yeah, that's where the parking lot is. And I'm at the front with my niece Lydia and her boyfriend Logan. And then but we're waiting for our table, and they're – We're a table of 7, and she's like, okay, we're going to try to find you a table. The up front area was pretty packed, and I had not been down into the bottom area. Well, my mom comes up from the back door, And then she hears all the noise in the front area. And it was loud. It was boisterous. People were having a good time.
It's a hopping place.
My mom said, we have to be in the back. Because she would have gone crazy. The front is very loud. The back is very quiet.
It is two totally different establishments.
It really is.
Yeah, just divided by a wall.
It really is. And so, a wall of liquor. So we ended up sitting in the back. It was very pleasant. We were there for, hour and a half. And our waiter was funny. And the food was great.
I was feeling lazy, so I popped over to the Chipotle that's right across the street. And then I was driving home, and man, I saw probably 8 massive branches down. I mean, like, had to drive around them in the roadway they were down.
There was one down around 69th and Lamar, because I took Lamar to 75th and just took 75th all the way to the restaurant.
That's the way to do it.
It was. I beat everybody there. But that rain was coming down so bad. I mean, I had never seen – I mean, there are huge sewage what are they called?
Culverts.
Gutters.
Yeah.
Culverts, yeah. And they're just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And there was water in the street. I mean, people were hydroplaning. And I'm like, I'm 9-3. Just praying to God, please give me to the restaurant, okay?
Well, and we talked about that lawsuit a while back involving I-49 and some of the low spots there. And we were wondering, you know, is it road engineering? And I think yesterday's rain proved that no matter how well you engineer the roads, there will be conditions that are not safe for high speeds.
Man, it was coming down.
I spent 2 hours this morning with impromptu yard work because we lost a branch that...
Did we lose a branchy poo?
I thought it was going to take 20 minutes, but if you look at my truck, the truck bed is full of the branch that I got to saw up this morning.
See, it's just nature doing some pruning for you.
I know.
Good for you, buddy. Yeah, it was coming down last night when we left. My goodness.
I got an update email.
Did you see the double rainbow last night?
I did not.
There was a double rainbow.
Oh, my God.
In the sky last night.
What?
Yes. Yes. Double rainbow. Oh, my word.
Guy still to this day claims I think he's passed, but he claimed for years that he was not on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
All the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man.
Was last night's double rainbow intense?
Whoa.
It wasn't that intense, but it was interesting.
I mean, it was pretty wild that we watched the sky here at the station go from bright blue, clear, you know, maybe a cloud or two.
Maybe a 5-mile-per-hour wind.
To dark.
Yeah.
To blue skies in an hour.
And then dark again.
Yeah.
Dark again.
Hopefully everybody has their power back. I did get an email update from Evergy last night that there was, I think, at most 10,000 people without power.
Okay.
Which is pretty wild for a 5-minute storm.
All right, so let's do this real quick. Since Mackie's coming in the 3 o'clock hour, let's get all the sports stories out of the way first. Cristiano Ronaldo has signed a new contract to remain at Saudi Arabian club Al Nassr. I still don't understand this. The man is richer than rich.
$104 billion, probably.
He doesn't need the money, but for whatever reason, he plays in Saudi Arabia when he could still play. He's still talented enough to play in the English Premier League. The contract runs until 2027.
Now, other than the morality side of it, that you don't want blood money, because let's be honest, Saudi
That's
Arabian
what it
money is.
It's blood money.
Pretty much blood money.
Yep.
Other than the morality of it, do you fault the guy?
No, and here's why. Ronaldo's going to earn up to $468 million per year. That's almost what Patrick Mahomes is going to earn in 10 years.
And he knows, you know, he still has the skill to play at the top level, but he knows that his career is coming to an end.
He scored 74 goals in 77 games. That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, when you factor in the competition.
Yeah. Oh, no, like no. This is me playing. This is me, 54-year-old Scott, who's played soccer a lot, playing against a bunch of 5-year-olds.
Right, exactly.
He is going to make $936 million by the end of this contract.
Woo!
So almost $500 million a year. A year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
I would sign again.
But you don't even need that. I mean, he's already super rich.
Yeah.
Why do you need that much money?
He is just solidifying that he will not have to work another day in his life once
or
he retires
his kids
from the game.
Or grandkids or great-grandkids.
But we were talking yesterday about Cooper Flagg, and he's set to get like $950 million over
if he turns out to be successful.
True. Yeah. But, you know, we talk about how we pay athletes too much, and they're just taking it to the next level.
And we do. Let's be honest. We pay athletes too much money. But who's to blame? We are. You know why? Because we buy the tickets.
We keep watching.
I remember when I was in high school, Chiefs tickets were less than $25.
Mm-hmm.
Royals tickets, $5.
Now, if you want to go to a nosebleed Chiefs game, you're going to be shelling out $200 if it's a decent game.
Yep. I remember watching George Brett, Bo Jackson play for $5 a pop outfield seats.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third. Michael Mackey joins us in the 3 o'clock hour. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Get to the stadium here in just a minute. But real quick, out of St. Louis, an announcer who accidentally said a homophobic slur during the Cincinnati Reds away game against the St. Louis Cardinals on Saturday of last week will not be suspended. Chip Curray, St. Louis, I hope I pronounced that correctly. Chip Curray, St. Louis Cardinals announcer, said the slur during the fourth inning of a FanDuel Sports Network broadcast while he was reading a promotional announcement for the club's upcoming Disability Pride Night when he stumbled over his narration. He said, and I quote, and I'm going to clean it up, Disability Pride Night is Thursday, July 10th, with a themed ticket fans take home at Cardinals Cap featuring the Disability Pride
bleep. And then he immediately corrected himself and said flag.
So he said a word that sounds like flag but didn't have the L in it.
Take out a letter, yeah.
And Cardinals in Braille. He will not be suspended for the slip.
Good.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, it's very different from what happened with Tom Brenneman, where he was very obviously trying to say that word. He didn't think it was going to go out on the air, but you always assume the mic is hot. In this scenario, you know,
it was a slip.
We say a lot of words. Sometimes we mess up and say the wrong word.
Yep. Story here from Channel 5. Leaders in Kansas will meet in early July for a meeting to discuss the potential extension of star bonds that would lure either the Chiefs and or the Royals to the state of Kansas.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yep. So it expires on July 1st, which I believe is that Monday?
That is Tuesday.
Tuesday. Thank you. Senate President Ty Masterson announcing yesterday that he has called a meeting for July 7th. So here's the deal. The offer to the Royals and the Chiefs will pay for 70% of your stadium costs through these star bonds.
Correct.
Which will be paid back by sales taxes at those venues if they are ever built.
Right.
Okay. The offer expires on July 1st. However, the Senate President and a handful of other top-tier leaders in the Kansas legislature have the authority to extend it one more year.
So they did work in a retroactive extension clause, meaning they can let it lapse,
and
so
then
the offer dies, right. And then they can decide later after a committee meeting, there's some sort of council committee that is overseeing all of this, they can decide to retroactively reinstate the offer.
Which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about this on Kansas City's Week in Review, which airs tonight. It would retroactively start at that date. So, for example, he's called some legislative leaders back into session on July 7th. If they were to say, all right, one more year, then that goes to July 7th of next year.
So, effectively, we're not going to know the future of the stadiums for an entire another year.
Well, and he was hesitant, and he was playing a little poker here, Ty Masterson, the Senate President in Kansas, where he said, I don't want to be used as a, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't want to be used as a pawn for the Chiefs and the Royals to negotiate with Missouri. Either you're coming over here or you're not. Well, we're getting dangerously close to this deadline in the state of Kansas, and so the thought is that they are going to extend the deadline. Now, do they have to extend it one year? Can they say, you know what? You got two more months.
Yeah.
You got three more months. You got four more months. Whatever.
I don't know what the exact verbiage is, but I would assume they can modify that extension. I don't think it would be a year only. But let's be honest, if they really want the team, they're going to be used as that pawn. It's interesting that he used that terminology because that's exactly what's happening here. They're starting a bidding war.
Kansas City Chiefs President Mark Donovan requested the deadline be extended in Kansas as the organization continues discussions with state leaders in both states.
I get what they're doing.
The Chiefs and the Royals?
Yeah, it feels kind of dirty.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that Nick Haynes asked me yesterday, we filmed it yesterday, and it airs tonight and Sunday morning. He said, how long has this been going on? And my answer was, too long. Somebody needs to poop or get off the pot. Let's go.
Well, and at this point, you're just playing games. Like he said, they are pawns. The states have become pawns in this 3D chess game that these two teams have going. And they have all the power. Well, definitely the Chiefs have all the power. I think the Royals less so, but I think the Royals are going to end up downtown anyway.
The Royals still... See, I don't believe that. Where? In Washington Square Park?
Yep. And the overarching question, where are they going to park? I don't think the team cares. I mean, they tried to tell us that the Crossroads had plenty of parking, and we've seen event after event after event that has proved that that is not true.
Well, they got the Blue Cross Blue Shield parking garage.
Well, that'll have to be torn down, though.
Oh, is that part of the plan to tear that down?
It would be that whole area.
Okay.
From the text line, it's called smart negotiating. Again, I get what they're doing.
I actually think it is smart negotiating.
It is.
Hats off to the Chiefs for sure.
And I was talking to Rob about the Royals. Rob from the 96.5 The Fan in the newsroom. And he said the biggest tie for the Chiefs and what's making it so difficult to decide, because let's be honest, Missouri did not come back with a competing offer. Mm-mm. When one state is offering you 75% and you come back and say, well, we'll give you 50. What? But there is the tie to Arrowhead and the fact that the father of the AFC built that stadium.
Okay, somebody's saying Chip. I said Chip Carey. Apparently, he's Harry Carey's son or grandson. So it's Chip Carey. All right.
Huh.
Forgive me. I think my stock just went up with the Kansas City audience because I don't listen to St. Louis broadcasts.
Yeah. And I also think that, at least for me, I wouldn't be so hung up on the public funding if there weren't other stadiums that were being privately funded.
And I'm not too
for example, the new Bears Stadium, Busch Stadium was privately funded for the most part.
And I'm not concerned that we're going to lose the Royals to Nashville. I think Tampa Bay goes to Nashville. So Kansas City is going to stay in Kansas City. But, I mean, come on, let's make a decision, guys. This has been going on for years. And I remind you, the leases expire in 6 years. You don't even know where you're going. You don't have a stadium blueprint. You don't know where the money's coming from yet, unless you go to Kansas.
The average timeline for a new stadium build is 2 to 5 years, but some more intricate stadiums take up to 10.
Yeah. I guarantee you. What did SoFi take to build in Los Angeles? Because, and therein lies the issue, is that Clark Hunt is flying out to these games at SoFi and
Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
By the way, SoFi was just under 4 years.
Okay, so we have six as of right now. We're running out of time. Not to say it again, but poop or get off the pot. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, and the text line brings up a good point. I think the Chiefs also really, really want that entertainment district, that football village that they were talking about in the initial vote. And I don't think it's going to work at the Truman Sports Complex.
But Arrowhead, I'll say what nobody else wants to say. I think Kauffman Stadium looks fantastic. It is still even after all these years, I still think it's one of the most beautiful ballparks in America.
I agree. It ranks that way.
Yeah, number six.
Yeah.
Number six in the latest survey out of 30 teams. I'm going to say what nobody else wants to hear. I think Arrowhead looks dilapidated and old.
Okay.
You disagree?
I mean, I love Arrowhead.
When you look at SoFi, you look at Allegiant in Las Vegas, You look at some of these newer stadiums that they're building, dare I say the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, it just looks old.
I mean, I agree with you, and maybe I'm just a curmudgeon, but I think that stadiums like SoFi and Allegiant are too much. I'm there to watch football.
Yeah, but
I don't want a $4 trillion screen hanging out of the middle of...
But that's where the money is, Sam.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Very quickly, of course, I never divulge a source, but somebody who is definitely in the know wrote to me and said the committee in Topeka that handles the Chiefs' deadline extension is going to meet on July 7th. We reported that. They have to extend it for a year or not extend it at all.
Okay.
Thank you, source.
Wow.
Very well-placed source, by the way. Very well-placed. By the way, I am stunned when I said that I thought that Arrowhead Stadium looked old and ugly.
I thought that FYP was going to start
trending on the text
line.
I thought for sure people were going to tell me to go do something to myself. Mm-hmm. Not a single person has said that.
Multiple people have said they agree with you.
Scott, you are 100% correct. Arrowhead looks very dated.
I love Kansas City and all sports teams, but I agree with Scott. Arrowhead is ugly, and it's an eyesore from I-70 and located in a gross area.
I have never been able to figure out, and again, we don't talk sports, but let's be honest, talking about stadiums and taxes and tax breaks and things like that, we're not talking about sports.
Speaking of taxes, we'll get to that later.
We're talking about the city. We're talking about whether or not we want Kansas City, Missouri, to be home to the Chiefs and the Royals, or whether or not we're willing, or you're willing, to let them go to Overland Park, or maybe out to the Legends, mm-hmm. or even North Kansas City. And I'll tell you this, and I wish I had said it on Week in Review. I don't think you can put into terms that vote last April in 2024, where the voters in Jackson County rejected a new stadium complex for the Chiefs and Royals.
67% voted no, which is, I mean, that's
overwhelming.
That's a landslide.
Mm-hmm. Reagan wished he had that in 84.
Yeah.
This is just a guess on my part. I don't know how that Sprint Center campus idea would work for the Royals. I think they really want to go downtown. I don't know why the East Bottoms thing didn't work out.
I don't know why that didn't work out either, or the municipal parking lots east of Power and Light. Now I understand that they want to build their own entertainment district, so being that close to Power and Light would be detrimental to that goal. But
and Ollie Gates is really making a move to get the Royals down to 18th and Vine.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
It would be really cool. As somebody who's been to 18th and Vine, you know, I know the area is relatively safe. Here's the problem with putting it at 18th and Vine. Go through the parking lot at any Royals game, and half of the cars are from Missouri, about 5% are from Wyandotte County, and 45% are from Johnson County,
yeah.
if not more, okay? You're going to, and I know stereotypes are not fair, and they're not right, but you're going to have to convince a large portion of your Johnson County fan base that going to 18th and Vine is safe. Because 18th and Vine, even with the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, the Jazz Museum, they have some great restaurants down there.
It has an image.
It exactly does. And you're going to have to convince a lot of hoity-toity Johnson Countyans that it's safe to go to a Royals game at 7 o'clock at night on a Saturday.
Do you think that will be harder to convince than going to the Truman Sports Complex? I mean, we've all seen what it looks like driving around that place.
And back to the Truman Sports Complex, I cannot for the life of me figure out, if you drive east of the Truman Sports Complex on I-70 for 2 miles, it is restaurants, car dealerships,
oh, yeah.
Bass Pro Shops. I mean, it is developed.
I mean, Independence Center is right there.
Well, that's nothing to brag about sometimes on a Saturday night. But okay. Nice try. But other than that, I mean, you've got, you know, the... I don't know what the corporate name on it is now, but the Independence Event Center,
Cable Dahmer Arena.
Is it Cable Dahmer? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
But, and then you've got the Miracle Mile. You've got all the car dealerships out there. You've got, you know, Bass Pro Shops. You've got restaurant after restaurant. You know, and these are casual fare restaurants. It's not Plaza 3, but, you know.
There's a Hooters.
There is a Hooters. Sam, how do you know?
Because I drive by it.
Uh-huh. When you go to it?
Okay.
But for whatever reason, you go 2 miles east of the Truman Sports Complex, and there's development. You hang out at the Truman Sports Complex. You have a rundown, burnt-out hotel. You have a Denny's that caught fire about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You have a Taco Bell.
You have a Taco Bell if you need diarrhea. And you have a BP gas station. Am I missing something?
Well, they did just open in the old Coco Keys Water Resort, which was attached to the back of Adams Mark, the SW19, yeah.
Okay, so we have a pickleball place and a Taco Bell.
I've never understood why development didn't happen there.
Why wouldn't it? I mean, you want to talk about... go to any other city where there is a sports complex. Now, maybe sometimes they built the sports complex inside an already established entertainment district, i.e. sporting.
Oh, but by the way, apparently the Hooters in Independence closed like 6 months ago. Sorry. Tells you how often I go.
I'm not embarrassed that I don't know that. I'm not embarrassed. But anyway, my point is, like, sporting moved into an already established entertainment district.
Yeah.
Right? They left Arrowhead when they were sold by the Hunt family, and they needed a new place to go, so they built at the Legends. However, I would remind everyone that when Kansas Speedway went up, and I'm going off memory here, so forgive me, I think they were the third major development out there, the other two being Cabela's and Nebraska Furniture Mart.
I think that's correct, yeah.
And then the Speedway was built. There was no Legends complex with all those restaurants and...
Well, would that be on the county then? Because Wyandotte County was very aggressive in getting things built out there. And
Carol Marinovich was amazingly aggressive.
Yeah. The mayor. Tax incentives, you know, doing anything and everything they could to make sure that the land that was taken under controversial means was used appropriately and saw development.
By the way,
Jackson County fall short on that?
I don't know how you see it otherwise. And by the way, yes, Hooters may have closed, but they do have Twin Peaks. Right across the highway from where Hooters was. Thank you, texters. Perverts. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. We're talking about this potential extension for the Kansas Star Bonds. The offer expires on July 1st. That is next Tuesday. But the Senate President, Ty Masterson, announcing this week that he will call a meeting on July 7th and they will consider extending it for another year. A source of mine that is very close to all things Kansas legislature says they have to extend it for 1 year or not extend it at all. There's no 1 month. We'll give you another two. It's extend for one more year or you don't extend it at all. And thank you, source. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. The one and only and soon-to-be-published author Michael Mackey will be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour of the program today. He's bringing his book in, and I'm going to try very hard to read the chapter about us.
If I have to come in there and break up a fight between you two because he will not show you your chapter.
Or cat fight?
I'm taking your chair.
Over my dead body. Brian in Overland Park. Brian, hello.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Great show.
Oh, thanks, man. Anytime.
I used to live out in that area. In fact, I could hear the Chiefs, the crowd yell when they scored a touchdown and the B-2 bomber flew right over my field. Anyway, there's no money out there. The people out there are poor. And if you want to build an entertainment district, you have to build it where people have money. So they want to go, like, I don't know, you know, towards Gardner or Lawrence or something where things are growing. If you'll notice, like I know it's like where my grandparents lived back in Wyandotte, Michigan. You know, they at one time they had money and jobs. Everybody did. But now they've lived there so long, they're like on fixed income. They don't have the spending they used to have. So that's kind of what drives all this stuff.
But Brian, let me challenge you just a little bit on that. And thank you for calling in. And I certainly don't dispute with you that the socioeconomics around Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadiums are probably not as high as we would like. You're right. There's a trailer park out there. It used to be a trailer park out there. Just north of the stadiums is a rather shady place called The Spot. Two T's.
That's since been closed.
Has it been closed?
It has. I've heard of that, but I've never been there, Scott. What's it like?
I'm not going to tell you because I've never been there. Shame on you for accusing me of that.
Well, you brought it up.
But
you got industrial area out there. You got highways.
But Brian, a river. But Brian, here's my challenge. Probably 82 plus, let's say 10, 92 nights out of a year or 92 days out of a year, you're bringing in some big time money to that area.
Right. To play a baseball game. That's what people want to see. Like I said earlier, don't need a big stadium. I just want to watch a football game.
Maybe
so you're going out there to play baseball. There's a parking lot that gives you safety. Then you leave. But if you're downtown and you got to, like, you know, navigate the streets and that at night, it's just different.
All right.
I can see your point on Arrowhead too. It does look like 1970s.
It looks its age. It really does.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest.
Like
when you see
orange and green.
Yeah. When you see SoFi Stadium on television out in Los Angeles, I'm like, damn. When you see the football stadium in Vegas, what's it called?
Allegiant
Stadium in Vegas. I drove by that two, three years ago. My jaw dropped. It's incredible.
Nice. Well, SoFi enjoys the climate.
Yeah.
You know, and the other one, the thing in Vegas, I'm thinking like plastic surgery when I look at that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not so bad. All right, man. Hey, take care. Take care, Brian.
What? SoFi, by the way, now being used by two NFL teams.
Yeah, the Chargers and the Rams.
Yeah.
Ben in Lone Jack. Ben, hello.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
There are two things. One was back to the vote that we voted down so soundly. The problem there, we're in the show me state, and they didn't show me anything.
Great point.
We just want your money. Approve this tax, and it was, we're going to build a stadium, but there were no details. So mm-hmm. I think that was the big deal there. Mm-hmm. But 25 years ago, this whole metro area came together and had a bi-state sales tax that rebuilt Union Station. It was a huge success and continues to be. Why can't we address this problem the same way? And the 5 or 6, 7 counties around here all chip in and go ahead and build a stadium on the Kansas side for the Royals and rebuild Arrowhead or build a new one there, whichever we want to do. But do it together as a group, and they could share tax money off of it if they needed to. But spread the burden out so it's a whole lot easier on everybody. I hate to see this fighting across the state line. I think we can be better than that.
Ben, that's not a bad idea. It was the late 1990s. I don't recall. It was right after, I think it might have been in 1999 when they had the Bi-State 1 tax. And that was to redo not only Union Station, but I also believe the Liberty Memorial and create the World War I Museum, which has been nothing but a gem in our community, and Union Station has been more successful than I think more people are willing to admit. You know, Science City was sort of an albatross around its neck for a long time, but they fixed it. It makes a profit. Science City does,
they've been a great addition to the community.
Yeah, George Guastella, who runs Union Station, is an absolute genius, and he's really turned that place around. Having said that, I don't dislike your idea, Ben. Have a bi-state tax with Platt, Clay, Jackson, Johnson, and Wyandotte. The deal would be we put the Royals out in Kansas somewhere, either Johnson or Wyandotte counties. The Chiefs stay out at the Truman Sports Complex, but they rebuild the stadium and create their own little entertainment district out there. And everybody chips in. Do you remember? Here's a quiz. A little trivia, there was only one of the five counties that rejected the bi-state tax in 1999. Do you remember which one it was?
Ooh, no, I don't.
It was Wyandotte County.
Wyandotte?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know, when Carol Marinovich was out there and led that whole development in such a great way, when she left office, I thought, God, I wish she had moved to Kansas City and we could elect her and let her take it over here and do the same thing.
Well, keep in mind, though, when Carol Marinovich was in office, and why there is not a street named after her in that city, I will never understand. For everything that she did, for everything that she did for KCK and Wyandotte County. I mean, you can look at the Legends Project that has Marinovich written all over it. The main drag through,
absolutely,
the main drag through Legends should be named Marinovich Boulevard. But you got to keep in mind at the same time, Kansas City, Missouri had Emmanuel Cleaver and Kay Barnes, both very successful. And I make the argument tonight on KCPT, without Kay Barnes, there is no Power and Light District in Kansas City, Missouri.
Absolutely. She did a fabulous job in there, no doubt about it.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, take care, man.
Thanks, you too.
All right, be well.
I think that bi-state tax would fail.
Now, see, I don't know that it would. If Kansas was guaranteed that they would get the Royals and Missouri was guaranteed that they would get the Chiefs, I think it would pass.
Well, did they not try to get one passed specifically with the stadiums and they were going to split the sales taxes that was generated by the stadiums, and Johnson County overwhelmingly said no?
There was a bi-state 2 tax. I'm trying to remember when it was and what it was for. It may have been for the stadium renovations initially, but the argument was going to be from Kansas, what do we get out of it? You know, you want us to pay taxes, and you get to keep the money. So all the sales tax revenue that's generated from the stadiums, these new renovated, beautiful stadiums, if it was for stadium renovation, and I think it was, but man, that was 24 years ago. And the argument on the Kansas side was, what do we get? And the answer was, you get nothing. You pay taxes and you get nothing in exchange. But if you could tell the people of Kansas, hey, you get the Royals, we keep the Chiefs, and you pay a little bit more in sales tax, I think they do it.
I think there is a growing sentiment that I am seeing on the text line that with all the back and forth, people are so fed up with it that they don't even care anymore.
Richard in Raytown, you get the last word. Hello, Richard.
Okay. Every time you talk about this sales tax that didn't get passed by Jackson County, it makes me furious. Because if you remember, 4 months before that vote in April, the Jackson County residents got screwed by property taxes that they raised on most residents over 45%.
You're still getting screwed.
Taxes were raised.
You're still getting screwed.
Exactly. So if they want a new stadium, then the owner of the Chiefs is welcome to build his own stadium. Don't come crawling on our backs and try and claw out pennies from our back pockets because you want a new stadium.
All right, I got to stop you there, man. Do appreciate the call. News is next here on Dana and Parks. Michael Mackey joins us in the 3 o'clock hour.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.